welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. You're my friend. And you created me. You created me. We all make one another, don't we? Like in a big stew pot. Oh, it's wonderful to be created by you. It's wonderful to be your imaginary friend.
Oh, he's so wonderful. You are going to be such a blessing for the world.
We come into this world with no idea what's going on.
So we ask questions and begin to explore our world, becoming increasingly familiar with our surroundings.
You know what you like?
I'll have the corn cob salad, thanks.
All right.
Eventually, we think we have things figured out and that the whole thing can be figured out.
Oh, Mo, what have you done now?
Then you get a little older and you start to ask questions again. Why am I here? Who am I? They don't seem to have answers.
Sometimes I'll have too many questions. And I'll just have to tell myself, be quiet for a minute and listen.
Get me out of this place.
Where am I?
Where am I? Where am
I? I created you. I created you.
Where am I?
Where am I?
What is this place? I'm in the mountains or something. This is crazy.
In here. Come inside my cave.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's very windy out there. Where am I?
Ah, the question you should be asking is, where are you?
Right, I just did that.
Oh, I thought you said, where am I?
Yes.
Well, that's different from, where are you?
Yes. You see, if I want to know where I am, I ask, where am I? And if I want to know where you are, I ask, where are you? So if you wanted to know where you were, for example, you'd say, where am I?
Oh, I know where I am.
Okay, where are you?
Now you're catching on. I'm right here. So, what brings you to the top of my mountain? I say my mountain, but it's not really my mountain. Not yet. One more payment.
I have no idea how I got here.
Who does? One minute you're in your kitchen pouring a cup of coffee for a friend, and the next minute you're on the top of a mountain in Bagnac.
Where?
In the kitchen, pouring a cup of coffee for a friend.
I mean, where did you say the mountain was?
Bagnac.
I don't know where that is.
See, that's why these where are you, where am I questions are so overrated. I tell you, and you still know nothing more. Can we just have some tea?
Sure. Forgive me if I seem confused.
Oh, who isn't nowadays? I spend the whole day mostly confused. Nice to have someone to be confused with, frankly. How much butter do you like in your tea?
Really?
I'm going to put extra butter in since it's so cold out. It'll warm you. You know, it's not fat that makes you fat, it's carbs.
Oh, this smells delicious.
Drink up.
Thanks.
Tell me, how did you get here?
I told you I have no idea.
Right. I forget what I'm supposed to ask you. You'd think I'd have it down by now. Let's see. Where are you? You don't know. Why are you here? You have no idea. Who are you? I don't care. Let's not do the question thing. Let's just make observations.
Okay. You seem like some sort of monk.
You seem like some sort of monk.
Are you mocking me?
I thought we weren't going to do the question thing.
But you just repeated my statement.
I confess, I got the idea from you. but I thought the same thing.
I'm not a monk.
Me neither.
Well, you sure seem like one, sitting in a cave in the mountains wearing a robe, drinking tea by a fire.
And you seem like a monk, too. Bald head, confused, argumentative.
I'm not argumentative.
I'm not argumentative.
You're just repeating what I say.
I'm allowed to have the same thoughts. I don't have to have a different thought just because you had it first.
Oh, I suppose we could be thinking the same thing.
Exactly.
The tea is very good.
The tea is very good.
Thank you for having me in. It was very cold out.
Don't mention it. I think you make an observation about the cave right about now.
I do?
Questions!
Nice cave.
This is the point every time where things get bogged down because you can't think of anything to say that isn't a question.
Every time.
Every time.
I have never been here before.
Oh, yes, you have.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, yes, you have.
I have not. I don't even know where I am.
Bagnac, we went over this.
You want more coffee?
Listen, I don't know what's going on here, whether I got lost and I'm losing my mind, or whether this is a dream or that the time machine messed up, but I need to get back home.
All right.
I said, do you want more coffee?
What?
Do you want more coffee? You zoned out there for a minute.
I did?
Have you finally lost your mind?
Are you okay, Hardy?
I think so, sure. Yeah, I'll take more coffee.
Like I was saying, they don't make glow-in-the-dark watch dials like they used to.
Yeah, because they were radioactive.
Yep.
I just had the weirdest dream.
When?
Just now, I guess. I fell asleep or something.
Fell asleep? I think more like it's some sort of brain damage.
Was your dream that you were on a mountaintop and were invited into a cave by a mysterious monk with whom you drank tea?
Lou, how did you know?
Yeah, that wasn't a dream.
Wasn't a dream? How do you know what happened? What's going on?
There you go with the questions again. Can't you just wonder and experience things for like 2 seconds without trying to solve everything? You'll drive yourself mad. They aren't even good questions.
What the heck?
That's the worst question yet. So I used to have this friend, right? Roy. And we'd go to the movies together, and the whole time he'd be leaning over to me and asking, "Who is that? What are they talking about? What's that place? Why is the elephant jumping off a 4-story building?" And I'd say, "Roy, for God's sakes, just watch the movie. Be patient and observe. At the end, if you're still baffled, come up with a good question. But you're missing most of the movie because you can't stand not knowing everything for 2 seconds. You remind me of Roy."
Oh, sorry.
Just for the record, his name wasn't really Roy. I just don't want to embarrass him.
I understand.
There you go. Maybe because I understand people fairly well, I'll give you some suggestions. Smell the tea. Smell the air.
They both have a nice earthy smell. I smell the fire, too. There's a sort of smoky, earthy smell. But also, something almost like flowers.
Oh, that might be my aftershave. Now touch the ground.
Ooh, it's cool. The mat I'm sitting on is very soft. It feels like it's stuffed with straw or something, though, maybe.
Now listen.
I hear the wind outside and the crackle of the fire. Maybe some sort of distant hum. Also a kind of whistling noise every once in a while.
Oh, that's my nostril, I think. I'm slightly congested. I don't know whether it's a cold or allergies or what. Same time every year. Lotrovov gave me some kind of herbs to stick up in there, but I feel ridiculous with leaves hanging out of my nose, even when I'm alone. And I'm not sure they did anything. He was probably just playing a practical joke.
You know, I can still smell some smells from the kitchen. I think I may still be in the kitchen.
Oh, you're making progress.
Hardy.
And I think I can hear Lou's voice ever so faintly.
Hardy.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Maybe this'll be the last time we have to go through this.
Hardy!
What?
You zoned out again.
Are you on cold medication or something? I took some of that cold medicine that you take to go to sleep, and 12 hours later I find out that I'd robbed a bank, started a family, and was living in Live Oak, Florida, and going by the name Josh Pringle.
I keep having some kind of weird dream or hallucination.
You're still having it. It's just that This part seems familiar.
And that is why the monks of the Bagnac Mountain put butter in their tea.
Ah, question.
Yes?
If the monks are able to create thought-form entities like imaginary friends to speak with to keep them company when they're alone for long periods of time, how is it that they have anything to talk about if the thought-form entity comes from their own mind? Can my imaginary friend know something I don't know?
Oh, that's a very good question, Don, and it gives me an idea for some homework.
Thanks a lot, man.
So tonight, go home and make a sock puppet and have a conversation with the sock puppet. And tell me if there's anything different between that and just thinking quietly to yourself. I think you may find that when you create a dialogue, even when it comes from your own mind, that there is an unexpected result.
Question.
Yes?
Does it have to be a sock puppet? I have a rather nice Jerry Mahoney ventriloquist dummy that I could use.
Yes, any puppet is fine.
Any puppet fine.
All right, see you all next week. Oh, hello, friends. It's so good to be with you. Oh, I have many, many friends. Some of them I don't think are real. Butchie Lou and I have this ongoing argument about which one of us is real and who among us are the created ones. So Lou thinks that he's the real person and that we're imaginary characters, and I think the same thing, and we all differ. And normally we would say, oh, let's agree to disagree, but that's not an expression with my friends. What we say is, let's agree to agree. Let's pretend that this is somehow agreement, because it's not necessarily contradiction, is it? I mean, my shoes don't contradict my socks. They complement one another. They're both necessary for the completion of my footwear needs. And so we say, let's agree to agree. And is maybe that's self-delusion. I don't know. I'm often...
You are speaking in such a way that it seems you believe there is a large audience listening.
You're still here, or I'm still here, or something.
Oh, I can tell you wanted to ask a question. Nice self-control.
But I'm in the studio.
If by studio you mean cave on a mountaintop, then yes.
But I can still hear myself speaking. I'm in two places at once.
Well, not really two places, and not really at once, and not really you, but yes. You have definitely made a big step.
I really want to ask a question.
Okay, go ahead. I'm not against questions, by the way, just pointless ones.
All right. Who are you?
Who are you?
You know, I don't think you're just repeating the question. I think you mean that who you are is contingent on who I am.
I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. I feel very strongly that Japanese candy has better flavors than American candies, especially fruit flavors. Also, the quality of the sugar. I know this because I have received Japanese candy as gifts from friends.
I understand.
One more thing. Some plants and funguses seem to be a single thing above ground, but beneath... Is it fungi?
Fungi?
Funguses? Fungi? Anyway, they seem to be a single thing above the ground, but beneath the ground they are connected, one organism.
All right. I will. Good. See you soon. I remember one time I was in my friend's bar, and another friend was there, Ben, and he looked down at my feet and he said, you're wearing sandals. And I said, yes, I am. And he said, you don't seem like the sandal type. And I said, well, you're right. I don't know what that means, but I agree with you. I am not the sandal type. That's why I'm wearing them. Because I had some sort of prejudice against sandals. I was like, oh, I don't like sandals on men or women or children or animals. So I'm going to wear them because people do wear them. And why not me? You know, there's a lot of fiction that the premise is that a person has to become someone that he is not like or opposes or something like that, right? Like Here Comes Mr. Jordan or the remake of Here Comes Mr. Jordan, where they take somebody and put them in another person's body and they have to live their life. Wacky Friday or something. That's not one. Two for Tuesday. I'm making this up, but you know what I'm saying. There's a premise where if we were walking in someone else's shoes, and you know that expression, I walked a mile in someone else's shoes, and now I need some pumice because I have corns. I've been given corns. I didn't realize how difficult it was for that person to walk in those shoes. Those are crazy shoes. That is like some kind of foot binding or something. So I was going to walk a mile in sandals and have to deal with maybe the prejudice against sandal wearers. I don't know. It was coming from me. So I like to do that. I like to put myself in positions. I like to do things like wear a t-shirt that says, you know, world's best dad or something like that. Because I go around judging people often, and I don't know what it's like to be them. And I don't want to be like that. I want to understand that we all believe that our own needs or agendas are important. We all want to survive. I don't want to feel superior to my fellow human being or even my fellow creature. Although I don't really want to be my dog. I have two dogs, but I don't want to be either one of them. I especially don't want to be my hound dog because he licks the floor, and he licks the floor a lot. It's disgusting, and I have to clean the floor. Maybe if I cleaned it more, he wouldn't lick it so much, but then there would be nothing for him to lick. He just loves it. I don't know whether it's the flavor of the floor or what, it's just a bad habit. I've never gotten into that. I don't really lick things like that that aren't food, but bless him, he has hope. I think that's why he licks the floors. I'm just hopeful that there's going to be something on there, some sort of grease or somebody spilled something that didn't get it all up. He's very into conservation. It's like, I'm not going to let anything go to waste. In fact, I'm going to check that garbage can, see if there's anything in there that's edible. I am not the most enlightened person. And I tell you, I think I waste a lot of things. And I noticed the other day I was walking down the street. I was actually running. I'm trying to get in shape. For what? Oh, I got a big MMA fight coming up because they're having arthritic middle-aged men are going to fight one another, and I just want to be involved with that. No, I just want to, it makes me feel better to get my heart rate up. A lot of times I'll just frighten myself or think, oh, I've got a deadline, and that'll do it. But apparently exercise is a better way to do it. I'm jogging down the street, and as I do, I run past people's garbage cans. And actually, the other day, I almost tripped over somebody's My Pillow box. They had their My Pillow box was right in the sidewalk, and I was going to get this thing out of my way, and I gently kicked it over to the side. But I noticed something as I was going by these garbage cans. They smelled, and I go, "Yes, Hardy, garbage smells. Does it? Yes. Does it, though? Yes. Does it? It mainly smells when there's lots of organic material in it, right? So people are obviously throwing away food that's rotting in there because just a Kleenex wouldn't smell, depending on what you blew into it. I don't know. Think about it. Used Kleenex. How can you recycle those? Parade floats. Parade floats. If you blow your nose, oh my word, on a colored tissue, then you can just, here, if you do it very quickly, right on the parade float, all right? That's a good way to recycle. But what I'm saying is people are wasting a lot of food, apparently, throwing it away. Now, what could you do with that old food? Well, you could, some of it, you could compost heap it. Others, you could dispose all. That's wasting it too, but at least it's not going into the garbage and smelling. You could give it to my dog, would like that. It's probably not good for him. Or you could just buy less food. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times there are things that go rotten in my refrigerator, and I get so ashamed. I think, why did I not use this? Can I buy celery by the stick? Because I don't know that I've used a whole bunch of celery like that. I'm having a big chicken wing party. I can cut it all up and everything. But most of the time, the recipe will say one stick of, or stalk a stick of celery. Stalk, stick, stalk. I got a stalker. No, it must be stick then. Does it mean the same thing? And I will have a whole bunch of celery, and then it goes to waste. And I think, oh my gosh, somebody harvested that. The person picking the celery is thinking, they're just going to let it go to waste in the crisper, which is ironically named because it should be named the putrefier, because it's just going to make a brown puddle and turn to liquid. I don't want to do that. I don't want to waste anything. And I also want to know what it feels like to be someone else in someone else's shoes. I love my identity and I like being myself, but then I think, well, exactly, who am I? I'm made up of a lot of things. I'm made up of people that influenced me as a child. When I was a child, I came into this world basically a tabula rasa. What does that mean? Little baby. That doesn't mean little baby. But I was a little baby. I didn't have anything on my hard drive. Meaning my brain. I had a few things, I guess, like, oh, I'm floating in liquid, but I didn't have a word for it. And so you come into the world and you begin to learn, you begin to observe others, and you become like your parents or like people around you, whoever raised you. You take your cues from them. You learn a language, depending on where you are, and that becomes who you are and all those things. But you're not, you know, those things come into your head once you are born, right? So you have all this information. Then you start to get older. You start to read books. And all these thoughts and experiences from the long dead enter your head. And that is a bit like being reincarnated, isn't it? Because you read someone's life and you start to think about their lives and you have details of their lives. And if they are dead, then you have more memories of their life than they currently have. I remember more of George Orwell's life than George Orwell currently does. First of all, his name was Eric Blair. And second of all, he's dead. So if I know any details of his life, like he once went hop picking or something, I know that because he put it in a novel and then he put it in an essay and he must have gone hop picking himself, right? Because he just kept talking about it. So now I have that memory. That's in me. Isn't that interesting? So in a way, I'm, all right, but you're not literally a reincarnation, is anybody. And if the person is nothing but their thoughts, if their body isn't who they are and we're talking about their thoughts, then in a way that's like being reincarnated, isn't it? So who's in your head? Tons of people, lots of people, countless people, ancestors, fictional characters are in there. Fictional characters are real. Right now, George Orwell and Long John Silver, not the restaurateur, the pirate, are equal in my head. They both have histories. They both have personalities. They're both in there. And they neither one of them has a corporeal body. You know what? I'm going to start writing the show so I can look things up. I say, what is that word exactly? Because when I do it on the fly, it has revealed how the limitations of my intellect. And I don't know if I want to do that. Maybe I want to appear smarter than I am.
Well, why would you want to do that?
Well, wouldn't we all? I know appearances, oh, it's so tempting. You want to fit in. You say, you know, if I go out dressed the way that I really want to, I will not fit in. So I need to impress my oppressors. What? Really? Well, yes. I want people, the people that I'm trying to impress are the people that I think are most likely to oppress me. Well, that's silly. Why wouldn't you want to impress those who you respect or who would treat you with dignity or acceptance? Oh, yeah, well, then I could just be myself. They won't judge me. So everything I do to fit in, I'm actually doing to fit in with those who I don't respect, who I fear. Oh, no. Yeah, oh, yeah. So every time I go out and I'm wearing a certain kind of shirt or I dressed up or something like that, it's because I fear to be judged by the narrow-minded who don't understand me. Well, that seems dumb. I know, but I'm weak. Oh,
I'm so weak. I'm not strong enough to stand up for my convictions. I just want to hide, be a little mouse. I want to camouflage. That's a lot of creatures are like that, too. I just want to blend in. I just want to be a leaf creature. I know that I'm really some sort of bug. I don't want to look like a bug. I want to look like a leaf so that nobody eats me. And also so I can sneak up and eat other little creatures that think I'm a leaf and I'm not threatening. Oh, aren't we afraid to really be ourselves? We want to either intimidate or not be intimidated. And so we become characters, don't we? Sometimes I forget who I am. I become so many characters. I don't know who I am. I had this discussion with Butchie and Lou. They say, which one of us is real? We have that discussion all the time, like I mentioned earlier. And we've come to no real conclusion. We share each other's memories, that's for sure. I'll tell you, a lot of siblings do that, too. A lot of family members do that. Have you ever heard siblings saying, one of us had a bike that was all... Remember that? Oh, yeah, I don't know which one of us it was. And they get their memories conflated. What's that mean? It means the opposite of inflated. Because inflated means to blow up. So conflated must mean against that. I don't know. I really never studied really anything. I remember especially mathematics. I was in my math class, or as the British say, maths, which is difficult to say. And I was mainly doodling. And also, you see, I didn't, my elocution class, I must have skipped too. I don't speak in a way, in a manner that is conducive to stentocaping upon the radio, as per my dear Lord. I am not very good speaker. I'm not very good thinker often. And I think that's because I missed a lot of lessons. I wasn't paying attention. I was doodling in class. This is my memory of math class, and especially seventh grade. My teacher wore the widest ties. He wore these ties that were impossibly wide. They looked like lobster bibs. They were so wide. Granted, it was the 70s, but even for the 70s, I believe his tie was exceptionally wide. And often, he would wear a tie, a conventional tie, in a sort of ascot style, where he wouldn't insert the flap into the knot. You know, he just kind of let it hang over like that. I don't know whether he was trying to buck the system. He didn't really want to wear a tie or something, and so he picked something absurd as a way of saying, yes, I'm conforming, but I'm not conforming. I would do that if somebody say, hat required. I go, oh, I'm going to get, they didn't say what kind of hat, so I'm going to get a goofy hat. We often do that. Shoes and shirt required. All right, you just said, you didn't specify. I'm going to wear something crazy. It's going to be a message tee. Yeah, we don't care. That's not crazy. It might have a nutty slogan on it. Something that's a double entendre from some sort of oyster bar that's going to creep you out. No, that's fine. We're for that. Okay. And my shoes, they may be an unconventional color. Or sandals. Does sandals count? Because why do you want me to wear shoes so you don't see my toes, and yet my toes will be fully exposed? So what are you going to do about it? And perhaps I haven't trimmed my nails. Perhaps I am up for a part in the Howard Hughes story, and so I'm letting my nails grow in yellow. Well, I don't, whatever you want to do, man. All right, I'm just warning you. I don't know how much do I assert myself. Not very much, because I don't know who I am exactly. I have questioned so many things that I've questioned myself almost into complete obscurity. I don't understand fully who I am. I know that I am some sort of composite of others. And that's wonderful in a way, because the pressure is off. You know, I used to be self-conscious as a teenager and everything. People are looking at me and judging me. And then I realized as I got older that in fact people were looking at me and judging me. But, you know, who were they looking at exactly? They were looking at some sort of composite of others. They were looking at themselves and judging themselves. Oh, I think it's very difficult to sort of let go of your ego. But it's also very liberating, you know? So in a way, it's scary. You say, well, if I'm not me, who am I? And you go, well, yeah, but now you're free in a way. because you realize people aren't judging you. You know, it's them. And so, you know, why don't you let it go? And ego, as we know, if you're going to pronounce it the way it's in Latin, it's ego. So let go your ego. Let go your ego. But now you're shilling for a toaster waffle. I know. I wish that things weren't reduced to slogans and everything like that. But that just proves my point about how all these things in your head come from other places. How did they get there? Others are in my head. My head is populated. Oh, it's like some crazy play. It's like, you know what it is? I know what it is. My head is like, it's a mad, 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 mad world. I think that was the right amount of mads. Is it four? It's four mads, right? It's a mad, 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 mad world. The rhythm sounds right there. I think that's correct. If they remade it, they'd add another mad, wouldn't they? Don't remake it. I know there's somebody out there is desperate. They're living their life thinking we've got to remake Mad, 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 Mad World. Just think about all the comic talent that would be in it now. Ricky Gervais or something. But I think it's fine. It's been made once under the big W. That's fine. We're done. He dies. He actually literally kicks a bucket. Jimmy Durante does. And we're fine. Movie's made. But all those crazy cast of characters, they're all in there. Sid Caesar's in my head, as is Julius Caesar, as is an empty bottle of Caesar salad dressing is in there. It's all in there, which is also some kind of advertising slogan. Oh, get out of my head. You know, here's a way of getting everything out of your head. Put everything in your head. Then your head is everything. Then that way it's not a problem. You see? It's only a problem. You see? It's only a problem if there's some sort of separation. If you don't acknowledge that you've been picking up all this stuff, it's all in there. And there may not be a you. You is just this volume, encyclopedia volume. You are M, or you are T. T through V or something. Just a bunch of stuff in there arbitrarily given whatever time you were born in. All the characters in your brains. That's why I can make, let's say, references. You know, oh, that comic or that speaker or something is making references. I get his references. Just like a reference book, right? Because those things are in your head. I'm calling them forth. I'm calling them forth. I am calling now. I'm calling out Gilligan. Everybody's got Gilligan in their head. Step forward. I have Gilligan. I contain Gilligan. What about Gilligan do you contain? I am little buddy. I'm a mess up. I have gotten people stranded because of my incompetence. Oh, yes. I understand. We all contain Gilligan. Do you at the same time contain Skipper? I do indeed contain Skipper. Sometimes I'm the only one who is competent. Sometimes I'm frustrated with the shortcomings of others. And I will take off my hat and I will hit little buddy with it. And I will say, how can you be so incompetent? Yet I know that they are all inside of me. I contain everybody on that island. They are all elements of a personality. Yes, people don't know this about Gilligan's Island. That is one person. It is a story of one person. And they're not stranded on an island. They're stranded in life. But it feels like that. It feels like I have been abandoned here on this lonely place with all these conflicting aspects of my personality. Sometimes I feel entitled and rich. Sometimes I feel beautiful, like a movie star. Other times I feel like a mousy little country girl. Other times like I feel like a bumbling fool in a assistant. Other times I feel like a genius professor, and all those are rolled into, what about Lovey? Her too, I feel like Lovey. Sometimes. And they're all rolled up into me. All rolled up in one. And I need all of them too. I don't know how they all got there. I don't know how they came together. That's so crazy. They had only one thing in common. They wanted to tour. They wanted to explore. They wanted to look around. They had some time on their hands, so they wanted to get on a little boat, and they wanted to take a little trip, and they wanted to see a part of the world, a small part of the world, and they ended up stranded. Oh, life, did you volunteer for it? How could you have been a soul intact with thoughts before you were born?
I've never understood that. Yes, I'm reincarnated, so you're floating around so you, when you were born, you had memories? No? Then why couldn't you say things immediately? Why didn't you come out of the womb speaking Latin? Why didn't you come out of the room saying, ego, ego, I am, I am? And they would have brought you an ego, because they didn't know what you were saying. The baby wants a toaster waffle.
Well, better bring it to him.
You know what, real waffle's better. And there's a couple ways to make real waffles. First of all, the real waffle batter must has yeast in it and must rise overnight to give that fluffy, you got to have the air holes in it, right? And so the batter must rise. You got to have the foresight to make your waffle batter the night before. But what if you forget to make your waffle batter the night before? You can, in fact, take egg whites, fluff the egg whites, and fold them into the batter. And you can create the same sort of airy air holes in your waffle. Pour that batter in your waffle iron, whether it be a stovetop or the George Foreman type, plug-in type. And make your waffle. What are you talking about? I guess I'm talking about making waffles, really. I don't know. It wasn't really an analogy for anything. Was it? It was. If you don't do something the night before, there might be some sort of good shortcut for doing it the day of. How does that stick to your theme? I'm not sticking my theme. I'm going off the ranch or something. Right now, I've strayed beyond the walls of the city. I live in medieval Carcassonne, the walled city in western France, and I have now left the confines of the walls. I am no longer protected by the nobles of Carcassonne. I am out in the open country. Who knows what fate will befall me? I'm not surrounded by others. I have no identity any longer. They don't know who I am. They don't know if I'm a prince or a pauper. I don't have the de facto respect. That's my family name, de facto. Count de facto of Carcassonne. Just made that up. If you want to do a little short story or something, you can do that. You want to do that? That's your prompt for the next week. I want you to write the story of, first of all, I'm not going to read it, so bless your heart. Do you ever have teachers do that, give you homework? They have no intention of reading it. Here's your homework that I'm not going to look at, but why don't you do it anyway? All right. For practice, to make yourself better. What's the point? I'm only doing the homework because I fear punishment. All right. But I'm saying if you just want to get better at something, you can do this. You don't have to turn it in. No, thanks. I'm good. All right. Well, you do what you think is necessary. If you think it's necessary to listen to this show, is it a show? Am I making a show? What's the difference? When you have people over to talk to you, is that a show? I say, my friend's coming over. We're going to have iced tea, and then we're going to sit on the couch, and she's going to put on a show. Or maybe she's just going to speak to you. Which is it? Is it a show? Am I making a show? Am I entertaining you? No. Oh. Well, I want to a little. Am I making you happy? No. Am I distracting you? Am I keeping you company? Well, that's good. I'm going to go for that. If I can just help you while away the time. I don't want to while it away. I'd like some more time. I don't want, the clock is running out. Oh, it's ticking. I'm looking at it now, ticking. Here it goes by. I have one less minute on earth. I don't know how long I have alive, but I know I've got one less minute than I did a minute ago. That's just a fact. Counting down towards something. What's inside of me? I'm putting it inside of you now. So my memories are going inside of you. It's all getting mixed up, isn't it? It's wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. The people that live inside our head, you don't think they're in there. And so when you judge somebody else and you say, well, I think that person's doing this, go, you know, you can live their life. That's why we have art. That's why we have fiction. Because you really can experience it a little bit
with your imagination, let them in, and then it becomes more than imagination. I mean, you read a book about somebody's life and you start to get the facts and the feelings and everything like that. I feel like that was Chateaubriand. You read the autobiography of Chateaubriand, which I believe contains some lies. Why do you think that? Well, I don't know that he met George Washington. I don't know. I'm no historian, but the scenario is unlikely. I know he visited the United States. The time period's fine. He could have, all right, but I don't think he did. And it's funny because the whole point of his autobiography, and it's called Out of the Grave, is because I'm publishing this after I'm dead so that you know I won't lie. I'm not lying. But see, he didn't write it after he was dead. He wrote it while he was still alive, so he could very well have been lying to himself. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. Oh, and it has details of his life and memories and feelings, and some of them are true, but they were probably the same lies or the same truths he was telling himself. And so he comes to live in you, in this wonderful condominium concept housing area that is your brain. They all get a little bit of real estate, all these characters that you read about, all these lives that you take in. They all get their, and there are covenants. There are covenants. There are things you cannot do. I do not want fictional characters, for instance, doing the moral equivalent of drying their towels on the balconies. If everyone did that, it would look like an apartment building in Barcelona. We don't want that. We want some kind of uniformity from the outside. Don't look like it's a bunch of a low-class people drying their towels on the balconies. Why? All right, that's a dumb rule. You can dry your towel on the balcony. It doesn't, but some of their different colors, and maybe I look up to it, and it's aesthetically not pleasing. What do you want? I mean, how am I supposed to dry my towel? In the dryer. Oh, that uses a lot of energy. Let's have a meeting. I think we need to have a meeting of the governing board of this condominium and figure out what's going on. That, what is that? That's what we are right now. We're trying to figure out what's in our brain, who's living there, and what rules they want. What do they require of me? Oh, who's in my head at any given time? Did they have to sign in at the desk? I wish I had the guest book of my consciousness. Just like it's a bar mitzvah or a wedding or something or a funeral. When you go up, there's a little podium thing, little lectern thing that says, please sign in. Also, some museums and things like that. Tell us where'd you come from to see this museum of the musket ball. And you sign in, or the funeral, and you go, you know, Hardy White. I'm from currently Lexington, Kentucky. That's not where I'm from, but it's where I live. I put that Lexington like that. And, you know, but my brain, does it have that guest book? I'd like to see it. I'd like to see who came, who left their mark, who paid their respects to my consciousness and my memories. Sometimes I forget. I'm sure that I read things as a young person that made an impression on me, and the impression is still there. Oh, it's just like when somebody puts their handprint on fresh cement. I don't really say cement. I'm saying that so I sound more country. On fresh cement or concrete. And they put their handprint in there. The impression stays. The hand is gone. You could make a new hand, I guess, by pouring some kind of plaster in the impression, and then you get... That's too much. But it leaves an impression. I wonder who's left an impression. What faces, what souls, what lives live within me? Who's in me? Do they ever manifest themselves? Am I making thought forms? You know, there's some traditions and mystical traditions that say you can make a creature out of thought, and it will start walking around. You can see it. Now, I've fooled myself into doing this slightly, a little bit. You know, kids have imaginary friends, and they may start to see them, right? I knew a young girl. She had an imaginary older brother named Silly. And you'd think he would have done silly things and everything. He didn't. I guess it was a misnomer. But Silly, and she talked to me about him, and he's... The details seemed very real, you know, so real that you go, is this child seeing this or whatever? And then you realize that, you know, Our whole lives we do that. Whole lives we do create imaginary people, imaginary enemies, imaginary friends. Surround ourselves with these people. Sometimes we take the imaginary person and we stick them into a real body. But we've created it. A lot of times we do this with enemies. You create some sort of imaginary enemy and we stick it into somebody who looks other. And then we say, oh, yep, that's my enemy. I know it, but maybe it's just some thought form that you've made. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Because if you were that person, and you are, you would see the world very differently, wouldn't you? Oh, my goodness, to put yourself in the shoes, the socks, the underwear of others. You never say that. If I was wearing your underwear, I would say, for me, it'd be my hernia belt. If I had to walk a mile in Hardy's hernia belt, what hernia belt? I got a hernia, and I should have an operation, I guess, but what I do is instead I wear this device that just keeps my guts pressed in, which is the point anyway, right? They just cut me open and sew it up tighter or something like that, but I don't mind wearing this tight belt that reminds me that I have guts. I like doing that. It reminds me that I'm a big gut sack. Whenever I think that I'm some sort of ethereal being or anything, it reminds me that I'm just an ugly bag of mostly water, as they said on Star Trek. Who said that? I think the Voyager probe said that. Ugly bags of mostly water, carbon units, or something like that. Oh, see, that's all in me too. All that fiction. It's all in there. It's in there. What's in there? You name it. I don't want to name it. I don't know. I guess I don't want to know what's in there. Hair? Yep, different types of hair from different things. One thing I thought was a hair, but it's not. It's a very long bug leg. Okay. All right. Like a daddy long legs? Yep. Not a spider. Not a spider. Type of mite. Insect. Insect, indeed. Not an arachnid. Not an arachnid. Insect. Insect. Agreed. All right. And its legs are not hair. Its legs are not hair. They're legs. Would my leg appear to be a hair to a giant creature? Hell, I don't know. I don't think so. Gross. Gross. All right. Good to see you. Bye. Little conversations I have with myself. Are they really myself? Oh, I don't mind not knowing. I always say ask lots of questions. I do say that. But I also say I don't know. And once you say I don't know, you can start finding out like as if you have asked a question. And then listen and look and think and pay attention. You know, you don't have to be always inquiring. Because maybe there's no answer per se. Maybe it's something to be experienced. Did you ever think about that? That's why I like abstract art and everything. What's that supposed to be? Well, what's love supposed to be? What's anger supposed to be? What's beauty supposed to be? You know, some things are feelings. Are they not? Doesn't have to represent something. I could just have a word, you know? If you're going to do that, you might as well just write bowl of fruit on a piece of paper and put it on the wall. Bowl of fruit. All right. Noted. But things that are mysterious, that give you a feeling without knowing why, isn't that wonderful? I love that. That's why I go on walks. That's why I go into the woods. I don't go in the woods thinking, what am I hearing? What is that? What is that smell? I just go in and experience it. And a lot of times if I'm alone or if I'm with somebody else who's nice and silent, kind of people that don't yak all the time, we just feel things. And time changes. Time changes when I'm not asking a lot of questions. Time changes. I don't know whether it slows down. It just gets different. And all of a sudden I'm not going forward or backwards and I don't fear the end of things. I'm just kind of there. You know, ego. I am, but I'm not. Oh, I'm not some type of teacher, obviously, obviously. I'm more like a substitute teacher who's unqualified, unqualified. Who is this idiot in math class today? They don't seem to know any math. They're instead just going on and on about something, like Monty Python or something. Yeah, because it's just some person. Not necessarily qualified. They're placeholding. That's what I'm doing. I'm not here to teach or anything. There's nothing to learn. Don't ask any questions. Don't try to figure it out. What's he saying? Don't try to figure it out. Just let it wash over you. What's that smell? Don't try to identify it. That could be dangerous. You know? Because you go, well, that smells good. And then you find out it's something gross. Did that ever happen? Hey, what's cooking? Oh, that's duty or something. Well, why did it smell good for a minute? I don't know. Or something smells bad, and you go, what is that odor? And then you find out, oh, it's just some delicious cheese. I didn't have any context for it. Just let the experience wash over you. Stand at the shore. Let the waves hit your ankles. Take it all in. Look out there at the horizon. Look at the vastness of the ocean and think. Exactly. Think what? No. Nah. Ooh. Think that. Because the minute you reduce it to words, you're going to shrink it. Let it remain vast. Let it remain mysterious. Oh, I wonder. Continue to wonder. I wonder all the time. I will not figure things out. There's no figuring things out. You're not going to get it. A lot of people think after they die, this is going to all be revealed to them. It won't. So, man, I got to episode 18 and it was not all revealed to me. No, isn't that frustrating? It could just keep going on like that. It may not be revealed. There's always going to be loose ends. There's always going to be stories that don't go anywhere. You know, you're at a job. You know, you're working a job or something. There's some kind of drama in the public relations department or something. Oh, man, I remember when what's her name? Brianna and Michael were fighting, having that turf war over there. And then I got another job at another place across town. I wonder whatever happened to Michael and Brianna. I wonder how that played out. I never found out. It was so important at the time. It's all we talked about at lunch. We'd go to the lunch break room. Michael and Brianna, blah, 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 blah. You're talking about, then you'll move on to another job and you never know what happened to them and it doesn't concern you anymore. And you may never find out. It may never be resolved. That's the way it is. You will always die in the middle of some kind of movie series that you're interested in. You will always die between episode 4 and 5 of your favorite movie series. It's just the way it is. I'm so sorry. Enjoy. If you can't enjoy without knowing the resolution, you're going to encounter a lot of frustration. But the sequel. Who knows what the sequel is? The sequel has a sequel. When is it resolved? It doesn't. It always peters out. I'm telling you. You don't even want to see John Wick 5. Who knows by that time? By that time, he's like, oh, and now he's lost his head. So now not only does he have to go out and fight off assassinations without the help of his international assassin support group, but now he has to do it without a head. How's he going to do it? I don't know. Also, his hand's been cut off. So, by that time, I'm not even interested anymore. Yes. I'm still sort of interested. I'm interested in you, my friend. I am. Oh, because I understand a little bit. I try to put myself in other lives. I try to live other lives. Butchie, Lou, they both help me. They're not real. I'm not real. Well, what if you're a figment of their imagination? So be it. I still have memories and things. There's still things going on. I still have feelings. It still feels real. So, just knowing it's not is liberating to me. I don't feel like I'm at the center of things. I don't feel like I'm constantly being judged. I don't feel like the whole world is on my shoulders. I'm just floating through it a little bit. And I know I have a responsibility to others. I take it seriously. And I take the suffering of others seriously. And I try to do something about it. And I do feel things, and I do also, I get depressed, you know? Do you ever get depressed when there's been some kind of, there's always some sort of human tragedy going on, right? And when people are suffering in a way that is undeniable. And did you ever have your own internal emotional suffering coincide with that? And think, oh, Lord, I feel guilty because other people, you know, lost loved ones or lost all their property or something. And here I'm feeling sad and lonely. Oh, that's real too. It's real too. You know, suffering, pain, it makes no distinction. You know, you're all right. This, we understand it's a human condition. Don't feel bad. Help when you can. Love yourself. All that stuff. What else do I have on this list? Let's see. Love yourself. I think I've covered it all. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to use the end of the hour now is free time. And if you'd like to, you can do homework for another class or you could draw. I know a lot of you have been doodling already and you can continue to doodle. Or there are some board games in the back of the room. You're welcome. I know we only have 3 minutes, but you're welcome to play a board game. I recommend, let's see, what can you play in 3 minutes? I don't know. Go? No, not really. All right, speed Chinese chess? Perhaps. It depends. But whatever you'd like to do, free time. Or you could come up, you could talk to me, and I could answer some of your questions for your other classes. Again, I am not a math teacher. I'm substituting here because my nephew goes to school here.
I'm not your nephew.
Yes, you are. Don't deny it.
I'm going to deny it 3 times, and then I'm going to sell you for a bag of silver.
All right, do that.
Yep.
I don't care. I know you're my nephew.
Can't prove it. How am I your nephew if you don't have siblings?
That is a very good question.
Yeah, I got you there, didn't I?
Yes. Are you not literally my nephew?
Man, you're my uncle.
Right. Maybe I'm just friends of your parents or something. They're like, oh, Uncle Hardy.
And then maybe that's it.
I don't know. Well, I love you and care about you.
All right.
I do. You know, we don't have to be related. You know that is. It's the relationships aren't all based on blood necessarily. There are people that I am genetically related to that I don't have any relationship with, and people that I'm not that I feel very, very close to. So, and I feel close to you, my friend. You don't know me. I know I don't know you, but I'm inside your head and you're inside mine anyway. We influence one another. We're all mixed up in this wonderful soup of life. Oh, I'm so glad to be with you. What am I listening to? I will allow you that one question, and I will answer it in the only way that I understand, and that is that you're listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Miraculous Rockland County and online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I will see you again next week.